Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael Steve Lobb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, and I'm being joined, as always, by our boy, Rob Trump. Rob, how the hell are you?
I was good until yesterday.
Why is that?
Well, we had a champion that we didn't like.
Yeah.
He won with a fruity surprise roll-up. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
And Mr. Fruit Roll-Up, I said he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to play keep away for the entire summer, or
exactly. And I mean, you know, obviously we've got tons of time. We're going to break all that down. But I want to say thank you to everybody for joining us, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on Twitch, whether you're on YouTube or Instagram. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Feel free to put your thoughts in the chat and we'll put those comments on the show. But dude, we are a little bit less than 24 hours removed. Actually a little bit more, if you will, if we're playing with, you know, time games and stuff. But we're about 24 hours removed from CM Punk making his joyful and triumphant return to WWE and dethroning Sami Zayn for his world championship. So, you know what? Without any further ado, man, let us just jump right in and talk about Monday Night Raw. And this was definitely a show. You had quite a bit of moving parts, but the most important thing and what everybody's going to remember is obviously that situation with CM Punk and Sami Zayn and the 9-day title reign. Rob, I know you had a lot of feelings about Sami Zayn as the world champion.
Let it rip, right, brother. You know, Sami Zayn has been with the company a long time. He has owed his roses, his little bouquet of flowers. The bouquet of flowers didn't come with Cody Rhodes. Why was that? Explain to the people why we got no Cody Rhodes.
Because obviously we want to end up running CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, and we had to get the title off of Cody and on to Punk before SummerSlam without those two meeting in the ring. That's the real reason.
And what was their excuse for not having what was promised, which was the rematch?
Because Cody got his little self injured, as it were. Yeah.
Yes. And we're in Chicago.
That's correct.
Who's going to show up and now a lot of people are pointing out that CM Punk looks surprisingly jacked.
He does.
That he doesn't look so fragile, Mr. Phil Brooks.
Hey man, props to him. Props to him, whatever regimen he's doing and whatever he is using. Dude's looking in better physical shape than he ever has, arguably.
All right. Now you put and I've said fragile, Phil, and I only say things like that because there are so many deserving people in that locker room that deserve a title shot. Two of them are on the screen right now. Cody doesn't. Why? Because he's had a few. He needs a little time to breathe.
Agreed.
Cody Rhodes is like your favorite shirt that you wear over and over and over again. Sami Zayn is like, well, shit, I need clothing. So I'm going to go to the thrift store, and this shirt is vintage, but it smells like fucking shit. Okay? It smells like farts, Roberto's Taco Shop, and a fucking bad, bad, bad roach. It just is pungent, but it's affordable. And you know what? If you got the right jacket on and you kind of bury it in the back of the lineup, once in a while, it looks fashionable. Sami Zayn got his participation trophy. You made that WWE belt look like rubber. Very pliable. You've got Seth Rollins reigniting his hate with Roman Reigns, which is stale as fuck.
I've got your number. I've got you since I buried that chair in your back.
Don't care. And then you got Oba Femi. I had championship. No, I want broke. Okay. And then you've got Sol Ruka, who could barely do her finish. In fact, when she does hit her finisher, which is just a ridiculous stunner, the cameras don't know which way to point because they don't know if she's going to land it.
Exactly.
Versus the stiffest competitor, Raquel Rodriguez, who's stiff on the mic and stiff in the ring and no charisma. Okay. You don't have to worry about her getting a man hard. She already came in hard because she's stiff. And now Sami Zayn spent the weekend putting the belt on a swing.
Yep.
Doing every stupid cornball video with it. And the moment I saw that shit, I knew that this was a joke title reign.
Yep.
That's my problem with it. Nobody treats that belt with such little respect, except for Sami Zayn and The Miz. And even The Miz gave it a better shine when he was a heavyweight champion than Sami Zayn gave that one. It was a joke run.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a 9-day title reign. CM Punk wins the Undisputed Championship from Sami Zayn. But Rob, did you happen to see the promo from Sammy after the match?
What, him crying in the corner?
Basically. So would you like to do the honors or shall I?
9 days after I did it, that piece of shit can walk back in here after not being here for months and get it? That motherfucker, he has no business.
Sami Zayn, ladies and gentlemen.
Now so, yeah, heel.
Yeah, it's very interesting, man, because, you know, depending on, you know, when you listen to this show, it'll either prove to be a great decision for them to get the title off of Sammy and put it onto Punk, or the fans will have completely revolted and then WWE will have yet another can of worms on their hands. So, I mean, it remains to be seen what's going to happen, but you can just tell that there is a pretty significant groundswell from the internet and from a very loud percentage of fans online, definitely saying what they feel. And, you know, comments that CM Punk has become exactly what he hated. You know, there are a lot of things that will actually show. Even here, we've got some memes that that have circulated on the internet in a pretty short span, and you got to admire some of that creativity.
This is what happens when you go to the well, and the well for your WWE champions are Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes. Those are your four champions. Now, back in the day, used to be John Cena and Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar. And then they transitioned away from that into Roman Reigns nonstop for a while and Brock Lesnar. Now you've got four guys, and I can hear Matt going, Jesus Christ, Rob, what do you want? You just said there were two guys, and now you've got four guys that could be champion. The problem is there are more people in the locker room with the ability, the mic work, everything. Prince Devitt again. I don't know why I remember Prince Devitt.
Finn Balor.
But I can't remember the name Finn Balor. It's bizarre. Finn Balor is now feuding with the remainder of my family tree on SmackDown. They've pie-faced him for no reason. And the reason was he's somebody from their past. So unless you're going to give us an extensive history lesson in New Japan Pro Wrestling, why would I care about this? And now you know that he's going to team up with Shinsuke Nakamura. It's the only thing left for him to do is team up with Shinsuke Nakamura to give Nakamura a little bit of relevancy. But will this be a push for Finn Balor? I doubt it.
Of course not.
This is just a holdover.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about SmackDown here in just a minute.
Yeah, but it's a lot of wasted talent going on right now to do safe.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And so obviously this episode of Raw was, you know, there was another title change that went down and a bit of a turn as well. So you have The Vision winning the tag team championships and Maxxine Dupri jumping into Austin Theory's arms, making out with him a la Liv and Dom. And it's going to be interesting to see where this goes from here, especially considering earlier on in the night you had Paul Heyman threatening to leave The Vision and, you know, essentially scaring them straight and waking them up. So it was, very interesting, but there's a lot left to see when it comes to this faction. And realistically, you have to ask, where does this leave the Street Profits?
The Street Profits are unfortunately garbage. And they're
not garbage. They've been booked like garbage. There's a massive difference.
I say they're garbage because in WWE land, they have no fucking mic skills. They look like they did. They do not. They don't have the one thing that, again, I'll speak for Matt. Rob, you know, they say we want the smoke. It's not enough. They can't cut promos. They did something weird with them. When they showed up in Raw, what they were doing was they were going, oh, we're going to give you a play-by-play of what you saw throughout the evening on Raw. And they sat there and they did that. And you went, all right, well, they can talk. And Montel could jump really high. And Dawkins could do the little pirouette body slam. It's not enough. When he's basically trying to do is recreate the Jey Uso thing with this shit. Mm-hmm. And it's not enough. No. It's unfortunate. He's not over with the crowd. And because of that, and because Paul Heyman's in the corner of The Vision, they get more out of it.
Yeah.
Now, Maxxine Dupri, her career is over. Unless Paul Heyman directly gets involved with matches for her.
And that could very well happen, sir. That very well could happen. We've only really seen Maxxine as a babyface type of a character. Realistically, very early on, you could say that she was a heel, but she wasn't at the forefront of things. She was definitely more of a background character. I think as with anybody, a change of alignment should do Maxxine Dupri well.
Here's the thing with her. I want her to have a belt. I want there to be a faction by which the men have belts, and if there's a woman in the faction, that she is not an empty valet. She needs to have a fucking women's belt. Not the world heavyweight one. I'm not saying she's at that level. She's a mid-card level person. Could she get there one day? Maybe.
Possibly.
she's not terrible in the ring.
No, she's not. She showed some promise, but you have to wonder how much of that was the other person in the ring with her making her look better.
Right. Now,
it's consistency, Rob. That's all that it is.
I've never seen Paul Heyman back a woman that I can think of.
No.
So this could be unique. Now, what this also means is that the Alpha Academy, in any capacity or any name, Chad Gable will just go right back where he started.
Yep.
And everything goes full circle. And they, the three of them, disappear. It'll be like Back to the Future where Marty's looking at his brother and sister. They're going to disappear because that's it.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for him to go now. He's a good guy. But he's a good guy with nobody to fight and no belts to chase. So right. He's gone. She's a valet. Unless Paul Heyman gets in her corner, she is just going to be riding around with Austin Theory. And being a tag team guy now is worthless. Why? Because there's two tag belts. There's two sets of tag belts.
Yep.
Making it so watered down, I don't care.
Yep.
I'm used to the New Age Outlaws running around with those belts on Raw and SmackDown. I'm used to the Hardys running around with those belts and the Dudleys and Edge and Christian and anybody else you could think of from Attitude Era. And you go, well, Rob, it can't be like that forever. Yeah, it was fine for them. Well, they've got schedules. Bullshit. These motherfuckers are showing up on Raw and SmackDown interchangeably now because of scheduling, flights, Europe, Saudi Arabia. Let's cut the crap. Consolidate. You could probably make better storylines if you get rid of two sets of tag belts that are not needed.
Absolutely agreed.
I'm so distracted for 3 seconds. These guys have got the best tag story going on right now. Who are your other tag champions? I can't even think of them. Oh, that's right. It's Damian Priest and R-Truth as the Sami Zayn of the tag teams. And they don't want to be there. They've got almost no merchandise. They get some WEPA shirt, which no one's going to wear that.
Yeah. Absolutely not, man. But you know what? Let's go ahead and turn over now and talk about SmackDown just really briefly, because clearly, you know, we see up in the top left-hand corner there, Sami Zayn with the title. That's going to be, you know, one of the only images of him with that championship in an official capacity. So,
hey, he looks like an extra from The Lord of the Rings. He just looks, the whole thing looks bizarre. Meanwhile, we got real wrestling.
Yeah.
Vikingo in a losing effort against Rey Fénix, but a savagely good match.
The one thing that is kind of putting a damper on all of it is Vikingo is actually injured. So he did get injured in that match with Fénix, and it was one of his lower extremities. So I don't have the specific diagnosis, but he's came out of that match a little bit worse for wear. So.
All right. Now, for whatever the reason, again, interchangeable, you had Corey Graves.
Ooh, really quick. Sorry. So it was... he's undergoing surgery for a reported torn ligament and meniscus in his left knee.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's so savagely bad.
Yeah. So that's
for a high-flying wrestler, that's very bad.
Yeah.
Your spine and your knees. I mean, you can say that for any wrestler, but if you're more grounded and you're not doing high-flying like he is, I mean, the spine, I would imagine, is even worse.
Yeah.
But not good.
That sucks, man. That really sucks. Because he was... So keep in mind, he missed time in 2024 after messing up his right knee as well. So this is not good, man. You're starting to see a pattern of knee injuries with this guy.
Well, you know what it is? Think about it like this. When you have one injured part of your body, what does the other part do? It overcompensates. So yeah. They either rushed him back in the ring or who knows, any number of things. Michael Cole again. Well, we've gotten to see the amazing Vikingo.
He said yes, Vikingo. Yes.
Over and over. And it's like nails on a chalkboard when words come out of his mouth. It's. I almost wonder if he does it on purpose. Because Corey Graves is pronouncing this guy's name correctly, but yeah. Michael Cole can't seem to.
Which is pretty wild, you know, when you think about it. Because I didn't even put it into light like that. So, yeah, I don't know if it's just something that he's doing or if he, as a shoot, just can't pronounce his name. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I almost wonder if their attitude is, well, we're going to make him obnoxious on purpose to just yeah. fill the kind of old white dad energy type thing. I don't know. I don't want to go there, but whatever. That's where I don't yeah. know this shit. Now, Adam. I love what he does. I love that they throw him on, again, interchangeable, SmackDown. And he's sitting there and he's, oh, yeah, well, you know what? You can't get the job done, so they put me in charge. Great.
Yeah.
Fine. Purple suit. Blue, red. They gave him a purple suit.
There you go.
I saw that one. I'm like, yeah, look at you. I see what you did there.
Getting kind of smart.
You know how many times he's controlled both of these, and then they go, you're getting promoted. You're going to yeah. be the manager. Yeah, you're getting promoted. You're controlling both. You're getting promoted. You're controlling SmackDown. You're getting... Jesus Christ. All right. Charlotte Flair. Flair is doing a lot of social media posts where she has no makeup on, and she has this pasty face, and then she flashes a little makeup kit, and she's got a gloppy Vegas, dancer look going on. I don't care. I don't know if she wants us to like think she's hot now. I don't know what she's going for. She's running around with the knee brace. She looks frail. She's losing matches. Now, did Chelsea eat the pin? Yes. Can Chelsea afford to eat a pin in a match? She's over. Of course. Yeah,
absolutely. That's kind of her gimmick. Let's be real. You know, she's one of the only people in that company who gets more over the more she loses.
I don't like her being paired up with somebody else. I like it when she had two underlings because they were all entertaining.
Yes.
If Piper Niven gets back there, if she ever, I don't know what her situation is.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
I don't know why Tiffany Stratton's dressed up like a diva with the diva butterflies all over. I didn't like it back then when they had the butterfly thing. So I don't know who she's trying to appeal to. It's weird. Storm, Jade Cargill.
Yep.
They sold. Here's the thing. Chelsea's ring awareness was great in that match.
Mm-hmm.
She was fighting off two people at once. She survived the Jade Cargill's first finisher and then ate the second one. Didn't make Jade Cargill look good, but Jade Cargill, they had the right camera angle, and then she winked into the camera. Great. On the replay, they showed from the opposite side. So there was no botch there, and there was no sloppy handling. It was a clean finish. I don't know why they did kind of what they did. I called it earlier. I said he was going to play keep away with the belt. Sami Zayn did in that promo, said stay away from me. It was right feeding into what I thought he was going to do. Jey Uso, he loses. Fine, who cares? He's another one. He doesn't know what he wants to be. They don't know what to do with this guy. Is he a heel or is he a babyface? He's not The Rock. He's not straddling the line. And if people boo him, he loses it and he goes and he's changing as the show goes progresses. And then Finn Balor is like the kid in school getting picked on by the bullies. This is great. Oh, we're gonna do a winner take all for tag belts. How many fucking tag belts do we need in WWE? There's three sets of tag belts. The Viking Raiders, the Viking War Raiders. Nobody gives a shit about them.
No, not at all.
Get rid of all of that. Take those belts back to Mexico. Take the other two belts, shuffle them down the toilet. They're worthless. Let the fucking Vision be the guys. Done.
I think the biggest problem that I have is they've de-emphasized tag team wrestling so much on the main roster anyway, that now if you look at it, you've got your tag champions on each brand, and then you have one other team. And that's really it. The inclusion of the AAA tag championships with the Viking Raiders, the War Raiders, whatever it is, then there are not enough teams to justify that, like what you're saying. So it doesn't surprise me that people don't give a shit about it. They've spent so long telling everybody how tag team wrestling is secondary to singles wrestling, how tag team wrestling doesn't mean shit, and devaluing tag team wrestling. They've done it for decades in WWF and WWE. So it has not been
relevant since the Attitude Era.
Not at all. Not at all. And if you look at that, that's been what, 30 years?
Actually, wait, pause. I want to correct myself. It hasn't been relevant since the Shield and New Day were feuding.
There you go. I'll take that.
But that was a blip on the radar. That was a small anomaly for about 2 to 3 years where the Shield and the New Day made it relevant for a long time. But even then, there was nobody better than them. So if they were not fighting each other, who were they fighting?
Exactly.
Now, the Usos as a tag team the New Day, the Usos, the Shield were interchangeable. The Uso Penitentiary time, we saw some good wrestling there. I'll add the Usos. But now that is it. That's it.
All right. Shout out to Marcus Dietz, who chimes in and says CM Punk. All right, man, dare I say that's not exactly the popular opinion of this show, Rob or myself, but in any event.
Fragile Phil doesn't look too fragile, but I also, look, you got the taco meat going on, but it's white. You've got the beard going on, and it's white.
It's the Summer of Punk 2.0.
If they want to market this guy on a toy, I would have had him shave. I would have had him shave or dye out all of the white. I would have tried to make this guy mega marketable. I would have had him shaved or wax the chest hair. You know what? If you're going to do it anyway, sell out all the way.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I get it. He's on Rhodes now. Marcus's attitude is, hey, look, this guy looks genuine. He's over with the people. He can cut promos. Oh, Roids now. I was wondering about that. I didn't want to go there because you know who's on Roids, and we've always commented on this. An AEW, Swerve Strickland, has the Palumboism where he's got the six-pack gut. And I'm like, there's only one way you get there. CM Punk does not look like Fragile Phil.
Nope.
He's probably got a lot of, creatine will hydrate you and get more water to your muscles. I can only imagine the roids are opening up the blood vessels and he's going to look. Marcus is saying he's a 5 out of 5 star now. It's not what he's lacking. It's what the company is lacking. It's their choice to abandon LA Knight. It's their choice to abandon.
To interject, LA Knight did cut one hell of an impassioned promo on Monday. Absolutely, and we completely passed over that. But yeah, dude, he. You could tell that some of that shit was meant.
WWE has an entire secondary group of championship caliber people who are not being used. Yo, Bionic Scoop.
What's up, Scoop? How you doing, bro? Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Scoop and Marcus Dietz, we appreciate you both for tuning in. It's not that I dislike CM Punk as a champion. It's not that he does not deserve it. It's that you telegraphed that finish by, oh, we're in Chicago. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Now, does he, if he's on the roids, fuck it. He could not come out looking flabby. Everyone's noting online that he is bulked up. Fine. Bulked up with grandpa beard, and I got the same grays as he does. But guess what? I'm not a WWE superstar with a belt selling merch and figures and everything else that comes with it. Look at the guys on their commercials. The guys on their commercials are the youngest looking ones. LA Knight's on a lot of those commercials. Jey Uso's on a lot of those commercials. Those guys don't have grays. Those guys look clean. Best time to do steroids in your 40s. Well,
that's certainly an opinion there, Marcus.
Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, was it better to have it on CM Punk? Sure.
At the end of the day, it's going to be better because it's going to do a better number at the box office, which that is realistically, at the end of the day, what they are more so about is revenue generation. And, you know, you can say whatever you will about it, but bottom line, Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk is going to end up drawing more than Cody Rhodes versus Sami Zayn. That's the harsh reality of it.
It gives Cody more title reigns so he can catch up to his peers and have more belts. To be able to put out there that I had the world heavyweight champion. How many times now? Is he up to 3 or 4? With the universal title.
I think
he got it 40. WrestleMania 40 was the first. Then he loses, then he gets it again. I think this is 4.
Okay.
I think this is his fourth title reign. Third or fourth title reign.
Scoop says that his bulk was a slow burn. It started before Mania. So
whatever. I like the way he looks. And he can cut a promo.
He looks better than he ever has. Seriously.
Yes. Yes. I'm trepidatious about where they're going with this.
Yeah. Yep.
Because absolutely. Now you're in a corner. Because when is SummerSlam?
Yeah, it's
1 month.
A month away, man.
You're gonna take it off.
Not even. It's friggin' August 1st.
So you're gonna Vince Russo this, take it off of CM Punk to give it immediately back to Cody Rhodes,
who's
stale. Now, if Cody Rhodes doesn't beat the living shit out of Sami Zayn, everybody's here right now. Sami Zayn's gonna demand his rematch on Friday. They're going to give it to him. He's going to go to Adam. He's going to go, "You fuck you. I want it." They're going to give it to him. And then Cody Rhodes must fuck Sami Zayn out of it.
Yeah.
And he'll go, "Excuse me, you did that to me." He must fuck Sami Zayn over and be a heel. He must be a heel. I dare say even dye his hair black again.
Yeah.
I need to see him as the biggest. And then he might even still have the crowd behind him. He's the American nightmare. The American nightmare being a syrupy babyface for all these years when it was a character created out of being a heel on TNA. And then
Ring of Honor, New Japan. Yes. Yeah. He's proven that he can do it, man. Absolutely.
He does it. He comes out with the suits. He goes, "You will respect me. I'm your champion. I'm legacy. I'm the son of the grandson of a plumber. My father, this is his belt. If you are going to have babyface versus babyface, by default, one of them needs to have a heel turn."
Yeah. I completely agree, man. And Marcus even chimes in and says Cody needs to go heel immediately and then kind of expands on it, says say he got screwed by medical, goes full heel. It'll be interesting what they choose to do and how they choose to spin this as they roll into SummerSlam. But we do still have quite a bit of time left. By no means is it, at the end. of the build, but they got to do some things quick, fast, and in a hurry. So
they're doing this a la AEW, where we're in the home stretch and we don't have defined storylines.
Yeah.
They're throwing curveballs out there. This is very Vince Russo 2000 feeling, or 1999 feeling. I'm a little nervous. Am I saying the sky is falling? I'm not. But you made the belt look a little rubbery, meaning it is not firm. I don't like changes of hands so quickly. I don't like Darby Allin had a month to prove himself, and he fucking did.
Yeah.
This isn't that.
Completely agreed. Completely agreed.
This is, we're using you as a plot device. We're using Sami Zayn as a plot device. And Sami Zayn, when Sami Zayn put the belt on the swing next to the kid, right. I went, you know what? You're making this a joke.
Yep.
He doesn't believe that he deserves this by his actions.
I don't know if I'd look at it like that. I think that he was extremely over the top. There was even footage of him driving on the freeway, and a car pulls up next to him, recognizes that it's Sami Zayn, and dude has the title belt riding shotgun in the car and actually sticks it out the window to show to the fans. So he's, yeah, like, say whatever you will, but it was refreshing to see. It was refreshing to see.
He's milking this like he's Danhausen. He's made it a Danhausen moment.
How?
Because he's making a comic relief. He made the belt comic relief for the weekend. We had one weekend of comic relief.
Yep. I actually do agree with Marcus on that. I mean, he doesn't have to go on a lengthy title run. But again, at the end of the day, and, you know, Rob, as you mentioned earlier, this just reeks of a participation trophy and essentially him getting his gold watch after doing the work for decades. And, here you go. You got Sami Zayn with the participation trophy for showing up. There you go. That's about right.
And here's the thing. When you look at it, don't compare boring Zayn to the great Danhausen. But you know what? That's a difference. Danhausen doesn't need a belt. Danhausen's sin is going to be if he sticks around the company too long just doing that, and they don't find something or somebody. Right now, what he's doing with The Miz and Kit Wilson, he's got some life left in that, but that onion's starting to go bad.
Dude doesn't need to be a wrestler, honestly. He can just sit there and be involved in backstage segments and still provide just as much to the show as if he was in the ring busting his ass, given, you know, extreme efforts in the ring. WWE is a sports entertainment company. We've known that. They were the ones that coined that phrase specifically. So Danhausen is a WWE character and was a WWE-based character from the beginning. I think the biggest thing that you run into is Danhausen put in his time on the indies. And if you were to look at a Venn diagram, your indie fans and your AEW fans, it's damn near a circle. Okay. They're pretty much the same. Okay. But Danhausen always did bring that sports entertainment feel. I can't help but say it. When he was in AEW, it was a bit of a square peg in a round hole kind of a thing. And, you know, something just wasn't quite, you know, it wasn't executed perfectly, to say the very least. But I think in WWE, he has been portrayed absolutely perfectly. They can get tons of mileage out of this. They got a lot of runway to run with.
So Marcus says that even his grandma knows who Danhausen is. People who are hardcore sports guys, but not WWE guys because of the Knicks know Danhausen.
Exactly. Great.
But they have to find a way to keep pumping life into it. The surgery stuff that he's doing now, we're in uncharted waters now with the clones and all that shit. We're in uncharted waters. God bless the missing Kit Williams. Kit Wilson. Wilson, I meant to say. Kit Williams is on he's on the Ring of Honor. It's good, but Sami Zayn trying to kind of get that energy, that manic energy for a weekend. And he has, this is just cringy. No, that's exactly correct. Nobody knows who this fucking guy exactly. is. And if you're watching wrestling and you're taking it from the UFC TKO perspective, and here's this clown walking around with a belt, putting it on a swing, acting like a goofball. The idea is you are the height of physical athleticism in your field. No, you won with a surprise roll-up, a counter roll to the real champion. This is silliness incarnate.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here for sure. And as we put a button on this whole thing, Marcus does say Zayn took photos eating pizza with the title. Lol, loser energy. That's definitely one way to look at it. And then here's another way to look at it. Marcus Dietz says post naked with the title like a real man. Yeah, like CM Punk, I guess.
Well, no, not even CM Punk. You got to go even back in time. Well,
CM Punk did the stupid thing when he and AJ had the titles.
Yeah. But before that, who was the first guy to do
Shawn Michaels.
There you go. Yep. And I'm sure Val Venus did that a few times, too, with the mid-belts.
Oh, yeah. Would not surprise me, man. But, WWE definitely dominated the wrestling headlines this week. But there were a lot of other good things that were put out. So let's pivot and talk. AEW Dynamite, which was a very solid show this week. And something that was good is they had a very intriguing opening segment where you had Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega and MJF kind of setting the table for things. And obviously you had Jon Moxley in there as well, giving the Death Riders patch to Ospreay. And obviously, he says his piece, leaves. Omega is waiting in the wings, and Ospreay immediately tells him to pump the brakes, saying that you're not my dad. So that was a bit of an interesting line there. And MJF pops from a conference room or another room in the hallway, clearly sitting back watching everything, and made the point of actually looking past Omega. Saying that he would see Will Ospreay in Wembley. And then Ospreay saying that Omega has given up on him, on his life, which does not mean that Ospreay's given up on his. So interesting stuff. And then that kind of sets the table for what went down later with Omega, with MJF, and that title shot and that stipulation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this. The Kenny Omega is looking old, and him trying to be a father figure to somebody who he's wrestled with for years already, it's a weird thing with AEW. You do know the history of New Japan, or you should. It's Kenny Omega's at the end. I would keep him in a limited capacity.
Yeah. And realistically, he shouldn't be. I think that we can all kind of see what's going on. The match was made for this coming week on Dynamite, where MJF point blank told Omega that he's not going to get a title shot unless he does the Cody and Hangman stip. And puts it all on the line. And if MJF wins, that Kenny can never challenge for that championship again. So a lot of people were thinking that this match was going to be taking place at the pay-per-view at Redemption, but it's actually taking place this coming Wednesday at Beach Break on Dynamite. I know that some people have speculated that Hollywood is calling for MJF again. Realistically, I think that we'll end up seeing Hangman Adam Page come back and end up costing MJF the title. and then you roll with that program into Wembley, MJF versus Hangman, and then obviously Ospreay and Omega for the world championship at their biggest show of the year.
So. Don't like it too much. They're flopping the belt around too many times in one year. If you make the belt too pliable, it starts to suck.
It becomes rubber. That's what you were saying about WWE, right? Yeah.
Because the belt's too pliable.
Yep.
Why are we doing this? Now, if MJF beats this guy, now you've taken one of your greatest guys. And I know I just said he looks old. But we like the idea that this guy could have his CM Punk moment. But the problem is he's not coming out of nowhere. He's been here all along looking sickly. So fine, maybe a year down the line, he tones down or he tones up. Fine. But I don't like these absolute stipulations. It's just stupid.
I think we're working against a clock that we don't know. I think that part of the reason why they're going to end up giving Omega one final title reign is he doesn't have much time left in the tank, man. There have been rumors that he might finish out 2026 and could very well be done as a full-time in-ring competitor. So, you know, give him one more title reign, even if it is for a month, let him run into Ospreay at Wembley, drop the title. And then, you know, that can usher in other things. Yeah. And it can be the passing of the torch, you know, not that Ospreay is extremely young anymore, but to a lot of the AEW audience, Ospreay is a new name to them, relatively. So
I can easily see that. The problem is, one of the better matches I saw is Ospreay versus Ricochet 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now Ospreay himself is in bad physical condition. So we didn't get that Ospreay as champion. You're going to get an Ospreay that has no more high flying moves. That's. Yeah. Odd. Let's get on to the others. Switchblade is a point of
the fans love them some Switchblade Jay White. He was over like crazy, and they're getting that gun thing down. So that's gonna catch on, I think. You're starting to see those audience, you know, embrace the Bang Bang Gang, which is a great sign. Those guys have languished and honestly been mired in the sea of mediocrity for years at this
point. All right, let's adjust this microphone so people can hear me. Bullet Club Gold. You have the people. All of them. Get them.
Does New Japan still own the trademark? And are they going to give that up so easily?
No. That's the problem. Do it in New Japan. Here's what you do. All of those guys, the War Dogs, were the last ones. Mm-hmm. They're over here now. And they're just the dogs. You get the Bullet Club name. You pay whatever amount you have to. And now you own the hottest thing. And it's not going to be like WWE bringing back the NWO for 3 weeks and then have the plane ride from hell. You have these people more or less still able to put on an ensemble Bullet Club to rival the Don Callis family, which is fractured, to rival the John Moxley's crew.
The Death Riders.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why is this so hard? You want to call them the Bang Bang Gang? That's too childish. You have the right name. I'm thinking that somebody doesn't like the name Bullet Club in Warner Brothers, and they think it's too violent with the machine gun and the bullets. You know,
yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, it's certainly possible. One thing that I want to know is, are you going to be sending that little kind of preamble that you just went on there as an audition tape to NPR? Because it sure as shit sounded like as if you were trying
and
to
now Bullet Club Gold. We're sitting here with our tea, nice chamomile, and we'll also have a chai. We'll be speaking with Tony Khan and later Kublai Khan. from Mumbai, who's going to tell us the secrets of his chai tea, what makes it so good. In fact, I'm being told by my producer that chai is the Indian word for tea, so saying chai tea is redundant. It's oh, Stephen. That's right. And we don't like tea teas here.
Right.
Oh, isn't that right, Stephen?
In any event, let's talk about the TBS Championship and the survival of the fittest. As we had these six women going at it to crown a new TBS champion. And this was the de facto main event, because the actual main event was Kenny Omega cutting a promo and accepting that challenge. So this was the in-ring main event. And we had Hikaru Shida overcoming, all of the stuff that she's been dealing with as of late, and they're pushing her as a heel. They crowned her as the new TBS champion, and let's be real about it, man. She is the second woman to hold both the TBS title and the world title. So,
yeah. She is my favorite character right now. Harley Cameron is still too slapstick. Persephone is whatever. Chris Statlander, whatever. Even though Statlander's put in the hours, whatever. But Shida has the mic skills right now.
Yeah.
She's got a she's reinvented herself. She's doing the damn cosplaying thing. Perfect. All right, let's get over to Don Callis family.
Oh yeah. Your boy, the Don Callis family, huh?
Hold on, I lost my teeth there, Steve.
Oh shit, wrong.
You know what? Where do they find these people, Shivani? Where do they get these people?
Right. You know, man. Obviously, we had the TNT title match between Kevin Knight and Leo Rush. Kevin Knight is great in the ring, and Leo Rush is fucking awesome. He is doing the best character work that that guy has ever done.
It's fine. It's so good, dude.
It is so good.
It's so good.
Oh, I love when he's not household like Danhausen.
No.
But in the world of wrestling, his videos are coming up on my feed.
He's everywhere right now, bro. You love to see it. You know, you absolutely love to see it. I know that you probably got some feelings about one of these other matches on this show. John Moxley and Will Ospreay taking on your boys, the Swirl. No, you weren't excited to see that match. You weren't excited for the unannounced teaming of Will Ospreay and John Moxley to take on two enhancement guys that they basically went 60-40 with.
They had the whole crew of the Death Riders prancing in a circle, and then they accidentally flung Will Ospreay into the chairs, and he got up and giggled about it.
In the bathtub.
Yeah. Now the Swirl. Ooh. Where can I go buy me a Swirl t-shirt?
I would like to say shop AEW, but I don't even think that they have any merch on that site. Any Swirl merch. Yeah.
Why not? They're the Swirl. I have a better chance of finding a Queen Amanada shirt. A Persephone shirt. A Micah shirt. A Harley Cameron. Maybe.
Yeah, this definitely is Harley Cameron stuff for sure.
This is filler.
Yep.
Which I don't need. Next.
Absolutely. So, I mean, realistically, it was a pretty jam-packed episode of Dynamite, and it all got started with MJF defeating Mark Briscoe in a bloody opener. All of that blood was Mark Briscoe's. As MJF opened him up early, and Mark let the blood flow and did not successfully utilize his world championship opportunity that six people bled and busted their asses to try to get the Sunday before. Awesome. Awesome.
So it was Mark's time of the month to bleed out.
Oh, jeez.
And he has nothing to show for it but cramps.
Absolutely not. And, you know, speaking of red, let's talk about the red brand. Talk about AEW Collision. Would we call that the red brand?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it is the red brand.
There you go. Red and yellow, man. Those are the colors. So, but this show was a very solid in-ring show. You had a trios match on here, which was great. You had Speedball, Bandito, and Mystico taking on the Rascals. You know what, man? I'm just convinced at this point. Have the Rascals beat the Conglomeration for those trios titles. Let them run Collision and just essentially turn that into their playground as they do like an open challenge every single week for trios.
You know what?
That's what they need to do to liven up that division, man.
I was going to say give it to the Don Callis family first as heels, but no, just have them go straight up and go directly to the, yeah, you're right. Just have them win it.
Yeah, why not, man? They could easily do that.
I don't care about these people.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that I want to point out too is Andrade versus Brian Cage was a very, very good TV match. Both of these guys are awesome in the ring. And they were given time to show what they could do. So excellent match there. And then this was set up almost like a second episode of Forbidden Door. As you had Kyle Fletcher and ELP. You also had the Death Riders versus the Unbound Company, Shingo Takagi and Drilla Maloney. This definitely had a lot of kind of hangover from Forbidden Door. So,
hello, Panda the Torture Clown. That's a new one watching on my YouTube channel.
Oh, what's up, Panda? How you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Give me a heart.
Awesome.
Kyle Fletcher versus whatever.
Yep.
The Demand.
Yeah. They squashed three enhancement talents, one of which was Jordan Oasis from here in Las Vegas. Don't know what happened, but I don't know if he bonked heads with Toa Leona, but Toa had a pretty sizable gash over his eye and was losing a fair amount of blood. That was pretty interesting to see in what should have been, you know, pretty straightforward enhancement match.
What you're saying is that his gash was bleeding too.
His gash was bleeding too. You're correct.
All right. Thunder Rosa, unfortunately, she's been eclipsed. Mina Shirakawa.
Thunder Rosa and Mina Shirakawa, they're pairing two women that are lost at sea, basically. These two women have been, you know, momentum's been stopped and started and stopped and started. It's just been so destructive to their careers in AEW. They really need to build them back up. And they pick up a quick enhancement victory over Becca and Zara Zucker. Two enhancement talents. Becca is a lot of fun to watch, especially if you catch her on the indies. Because she can actually do what she can do in the ring. It's good to see her on AEW, even in an enhancement role.
I don't mind the enhancement talent thing. I would prefer like what they were doing when they had Dark or Elevation. On the main show, there's enough people to go around and you're doing these seven-way matches that you can shuffle this around a lot better.
Yeah.
Than to have, there's no room for enhancement talent. On
they have Collision. Such a big roster that you make a great point.
And there's no room for it. Mystico Bandito, Speedball, yeah, you get your high flyers, virtual high flyers, great. Athena versus Rena, I don't know enough about Rena.
And incidentally, the winners of those two women's matches, we are doing a casino gauntlet match this coming Wednesday. At Beach Break, and the winner of that gauntlet match will get a Women's World Championship match at redemption in Montreal. So the two winners being Athena and Maya World. Obviously, this should be basically no surprise. They've been kind of going back and forth. Maya obviously defeated Athena to get the advance in the Owen Hart tournament. So we'll see what happens here. Do they just say fuck it and have, you know, one of those two women be involved in that decision, and you do Maya World versus Tekla at Redemption? I mean, you could still do that.
I don't mind any of that, but we just had the Owen and we're doing another gauntlet. We did a women's gauntlet and now we're going to follow it up with a women's gauntlet, but in half the time.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly, man.
It doesn't hold any value if these people already, we just went through the drama that was Maya World versus Athena. And then Maya World going on. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Maya World versus, you know, Mercedes Moné. All right, fine. Now we're going to run it back a week later? What do I care? What do I fucking care? What did we just say? You got the right people. Use them correctly. Yep. Hello. Speedball. Absolutely. Bandito. Mystico versus the Rascals. Good. If you're going to give me a match that is just to put people over or move the storyline forward or get me invested in people, the guys on the left hand of that, they're just slapped together. The guys on the right hand are having their best fucking careers.
Yep.
Myron Reed is savage.
He's so good, dude.
Did not like that TNA gets to keep one of them because fucking Warner Brothers, but Myron Reed stepped up.
Yeah. Good. He absolutely has, man. And then in your main event, or top billing, I should say, on this show, you had Adam Copeland and the Bang Bang Gang against Shane Taylor Promotions. And in case you're curious what that lineup was of the Bang Bang Gang, that was Jay White and the Guns. So Ace Austin and Juice Robinson were at ringside, but they were not involved in the match.
Hmm.
Adam Copeland and the Bang Bang Gang pick up the victory over Shane Taylor Promotions. They're continuing this this Jay White as a wedge storyline, I guess, between Cope and Cage. In case you've forgotten, because they refuse to run video packages and they just, you know, assume that you remember every little thing. Jay White was actually involved in a feud against Christian Cage before he got injured, and actually came out to the aid of Adam Copeland when Cope and Cage were doing their little spat. So obviously Christian playing up on those feelings. So they're continuing with that storyline. Where does it lead? Who knows? They're not telling the story completely. It would be different if they actually ran video packages to fill in the gaps on this shit, but they refuse to do it.
What I want is Bullet Club gold. Don't jerk me off. I can jerk myself off just fine, Mr. Khan. You fucking give me Bullet Club. Get it over with. We all bang.
We're the Bang Bang Gang. We're the Bang Bang Gang. The Bang Bang Gang.
If you're going to call yourselves the Bang Bang Gang, you might as well have the group be run by Dalton Castle, who's over there at Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I was going to say that's over on Ring of Honor with the Outrunners.
And they're doing good over there.
Yeah.
That's a perfect vehicle for them.
Absolutely, man. But right. anything else on any of the TV from this week?
No.
All right, man. Let's go ahead and turn over and let's just talk about some of the big things going on in pro wrestling. All right. So, let's drop that, and we're going to get just some pop culture things here. Hey, Rob, who is the most famous person in that photo, you think?
Not Ronaldo.
Nope. So you got Jackie Chan, you got Donald Trump, you got Michael Jackson, and you have Cristiano Ronaldo.
And John Cena.
What? Where?
Oh, come on.
Jeez. Fucking still, Rob.
John Cena, Ronaldo. That was it for him. He's donezo.
He's finished.
He left with nothing. Michael Zero. Jackson and then Donald Trump. I don't know why Donald Trump has got like little pendants, like some weird, you know, Portuguese soccer owning crime lord.
Right.
And then Jackie Chan looking like Kung Fu Drunken Master Part 5. Who's the most... Yeah.
Dude, if this was 30 years ago, I would say Michael Jackson.
But, yeah.
But as it is, I would say probably Donald Trump or the other guy who's not in this photo.
Yes. No, Donald Trump still.
Donald Trump still. I agree. Still more. All right, so pretty interesting stuff here from Chelsea Green. And what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and I'm going to read this just really quickly. So I can handle you saying things about my looks or my talent, but what you won't do is spread lies about my political views. Since you're so interested in spreading misinformation, here are the facts. Quote, I am a Canadian citizen. I can't vote in America. I am not MAGA. I am a liberal / Democrat. When I become a citizen, I will vote for a president who believes in equal human rights. This was in response to something that went down on SmackDown. Chelsea and Tiffany Stratton, they mimicked the Sophie Cunningham point from the WNBA game that went viral. Where Sophie Cunningham, who is a Republican, leans to the right in terms of her worldview, just simply pointed at somebody who committed an egregious foul against Caitlin Clark. And many are either viewing that to be a racist taunt or, you know, something just vile based on politics. And so when Chelsea and Tiffany did that on SmackDown to Jade and her group. Obviously, some people got bent out of shape online. Say whatever you will, but I wish we could find out just how somebody felt about Chelsea Green not being MAGA, not being a fan of what's going on, not just in this country but in this world. I don't know if we'll be able to get in touch with him.
I think we might be able to.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome.
All right. Yeah. Let's see if we can do that.
Patch him in.
All right. All right. You got to. He won't come out unless you play his little bumper.
You know, I think I can do that. Hello, Mr. President. Are you able to join us tonight?
You know, I'm watching this disgusting girl, Chelsea Green. She's a terrible girl. She's not even American. I just find out now. She's not even an American citizen. We should deport her immediately to West Rwanda.
West Rwanda, huh?
She's not getting Eastern Rwanda. She's getting Western Rwanda. It's a shithole. And get, you know what? People need to remember, you know, what happened with Sophie Cunningham, they're doing such absolute, what they're doing to Caitlin Clark is a crime. It's a travesty. She's being bounty hunted. Okay. This is a terrible shame. What they're doing to her is double reverse racism and it cannot be allowed. And now we've got these girls. And by the way, dressed up like Captain America. Dressed up like Captain America, and she's not an American. Not an American. doesn't believe in our country, doesn't believe in our values. She's a communist. And she probably loves the Zohan. She probably thinks Mamdani is, she probably has a poster of Mamdani, a 12-month calendar. Oh, no way, they're Canadian. 16-month calendar of Mamdani, you know, praying at a mosque or a temple, whatever he does. What is it, like Indiana Jones temple? He's praying at a temple. So it's not funny. It's not funny. It's sad. It's a real shame that they're allowing. And then they're making fun of Sophie Cunningham, who's quite honestly a patriot. A lot of people don't want to say that she's a patriot. And she's defending the honor of Caitlin Clark, who is an American treasure. She's an American treasure. And nobody wants to acknowledge that. And now they're making fun of it. I had a talk with Paul and Linda, and we're going to have Chelsea Green suspended indefinitely without pay. And then she will have to take a course. She'll have to wait in line. She can wait over at the gates by Toronto, and maybe one day we'll let her back in.
Yeah. So, it's very interesting, Mr. President, that, so many people like to say that that you're doing tyrannical things, yet they wouldn't actually be able to say those things if that were true. Kind of ironic, huh?
You know, I am treated terribly. I'm treated horribly. And they go, oh, he's a dictator. He's a dictator. If I were a dictator, you would not be allowed to say half of the horrible things that people are saying about me. And you'd be dragged out in the middle of the night, you know, and we're looking into it. The logistics of it. But you can't go into communist Russia and say something terrible about Vladimir Putin. If you say something bad about my Vladdy, they take you away. You're taken to a gulag. You're taken into a gulag, an actual Russian gulag. And you have to, you sit there and you bang on rocks. You bang on rocks. You make borscht. Okay, have you ever had borscht? It's disgusting. Chelsea Green's going to learn what that tastes like, because if she wants to be a communist, she could be a communist in Western Rwanda, where we're going to be sending her to Western Rwanda to bang on rocks. Okay? And then we're going to send Zach Ryder to come pick her up when she learns how to behave like an American and not make fun. Like, oh, Sophie Cunningham. Not so cunning, ma'am, to try to impersonate her. We're going to get rid of you. We're going to get rid of you. You're not an American. You're a communist traitor. Think about it. It's so sad what they're doing. What they let happen on TV, because, and by the way, you know, she might be a Canadian 10, but she's a U.S. 6. Let's be real.
Oh, Mr. President, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. She's, that exchange rate seems to be a little bit off.
Well,
what if she was blonde?
Well, you know, let's see. Let's come up with a better name for her then. Let's come up with a better name for her then. I'm looking it up right now. I've got a good computer here, an American-made one. Let's see. Chelsea Green. How about this? She needs a good white name, a good strong name. I'm thinking of Laurel Van Ness. I like that one. Laurel Van Ness. It's a strong name. It's a very good name. It's a firm name. That one might work. Or I like Stephen Miller. So how about Megan Miller? Jeez. We could do Megan Miller. So, yeah, I like that one. Megan Miller. And then Don Callis could play the role of Stephen Miller, and he could come out and represent you, and you'll have to take your American entrance exam 5 years after your stay in the Western Rwandan gulag.
There you go. All right, Mr. President, I know that with America 250 just winding down, I know that you've been up to quite a few things. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we let you go tonight?
Well, I want people to have the opportunity to have me in their homes. Everybody wants to have me in their homes. And you could do that by going to Cameo.com. Now, this is important because a lot of people don't know what the fuck they're doing and they don't get the right one. You got to go to cameo.com/BOCE comedy and I will record a personal message for you.
Wow. That's huge. Thank you so much.
It's huge. It's quite honestly, at $25, I'm taking a loss on it too.
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm sure that you are. And thank you for joining us tonight, Mr. President. We definitely appreciate you, sir. And we'll see you next week.
Well, if you see a Canadian woman falling from Air Force One, the new Air Force One, by the way, which is spectacular. It's a tremendous jet. It is twice the size of Air Force None, which is what they left me with. And it is a beautiful Qatari state of the art. You have no idea. State of the art. And you'll see Chelsea Green. She'll be a falling star.
Wow. Wow. Quite the parting words from President Donald J. Trump, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight, Mr. President. And let's.
The honor was all yours.
It absolutely was. And let's dive back on into what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. As there's some rumors going around after some talent has been moving around. And this tweet comes to us from Ricochet saying, everyone listen, neither New Day or Shamo is coming to AEW. For one, I'd kick Kofi and Creed's ass in Tekken. They know that. And two, I'd simply kick Sheamus's ass. It's easy. Don't get your hopes up. Aha! So, yeah, man. Bravo. Well, what do you think about some of the stuff Ricochet's been doing?
Ricochet, man. We love Ricochet.
Hell yeah, we do. Absolutely.
But it fucked my head up when I found out he was my height. I was like, oh, shit. What the fuck? Exactly. And he's really soft-spoken. He's like, oh, thank you for being a fan. I was like, you're not going to say, aha.
Yeah, dude.
Like when I met Creed, we'll say now. When I met Woodsy, I was wearing a Goku t-shirt, and he likes Dragon Ball Z, obviously.
Hell yeah.
And Xavier was leaving. He gave me a little dap, and then I grabbed onto his hand. I didn't let go. He goes, "Yeah," because he gave me the handshake, and then I held on. I'm like, "Yo, my man." I pulled him in close. He looked at me. He's a little nervous. He goes, "I said, where's my pancakes?" And he goes, "You're stupid."
That's awesome.
Flavor Flav, your boy's fucked up.
Hell yeah, man! That's awesome. Well, the New York Mets are hosting WWE Night at Citi Field on September the 4th. So if you are in the area, yeah, go check that out. See how it is. A lot of promotions are doing events and themed nights at baseball stadiums this summer. So GCW actually ran a show at a baseball stadium this past weekend. AEW is doing something with the Minnesota Twins at Target Field next weekend, the weekend coming up. And now September 4th is WWE night for the Mets at Citi Field. Most definitely.
Hey, baseball fans, come see the Mets lose on September 4th in Queens, New York. Come to Flushing, Queens at Citi Field and watch the Mets lose, and you too can have a WWE official Sami Zayn bobblehead, courtesy of WWE.
Is the bobblehead him lying on his back while he just got hit with the GTS and losing?
Well, no, it's every time there's a little water dispenser in there, so it's him crying.
Okay.
You flick it and then tears shoot out.
Oh, fantastic. All right, well, look who's pitch side for Mexico versus England, even though he's actually German. Grande Americano, who made the telecast a couple of times as well. That guy, he might as well just wear the mask forever. He doesn't ever need to take it off.
Jesus Christ.
It's awesome, man. Like, he inadvertently has a career and a gimmick for life now.
This is fucking crazy. When I saw him come out, I forgot why he replaced Chad Gable. I guess Gable was injured.
Gable was injured.
Yeah. And I looked at this and I went, all right. And Cole said the best. It says Grande Americano, Chad Gable mask. So now here's a fucked up thing though. He borrowed somebody else's gimmick, ran away with it, and the other guy's gonna be back where he started, and he's gonna be lost in the dustpan.
Mm-hmm.
Look at a dustpan.
I wish they would just keep him in AAA permanently, man. That is where he belongs with that gimmick. Undertaker can book him well, and for some reason, no one on the main roster can.
Hey, go in AAA, be happy, come up every once in a while just to remind people you're there under the main roster. And Chad Gable, you're done.
Yep, exactly.
Bye-bye, sir. Sorry.
Absolutely.
And well, wait, do I get a complimentary WWE Universal title too? No.
Absolutely not.
No.
But we did have some interesting stuff that went down. Todd Gloria, the mayor of San Diego, California, took to social media to share that July 1st was declared Thunder Rosa Day in the city of San Diego. So pretty solid honor. Friend of the show, Thunder Rosa, getting her her own day in San Diego. That's awesome, man.
I want her to do better.
I do too.
Not because she doesn't have the ability. She has it in spades. Fucking A, give her something to do. Give her a mid-card belt, something.
Absolutely. And, RFK Jr. And Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are pictured here. Rob, would you like to do the honors?
Oh, God, yes. Failure. Hold on.
Jeez.
I got to drink about 9 pints and throw out my voice. Failure to W is part of life. Listen, the great thing about WWE's that's so inspiring is that all of these guys have failed. Every one of them has lost fights. The trick is how you persuade yourself to stand back and fight again. You know, that's the beauty of WWE. You lose sometimes, but you win sometimes. If you keep sticking at it, you're going to ultimately come out on top.
All right. And, I think that you've got a pretty solid foundation for another impersonation there. But, we'll see. Just keep at it, sir. Speaking of talent being on the move, TNA Wrestling releasing Eric Young, who is immediately been linked back to WWE to rejoin NXT as a trainer and a talent. So that should be happening very, very soon. Anything to throw in on Eric Young?
No, wow. He is TNA. He bleeds that brand. He's so versatile as a TV champion. When he slide his hair, he was entertaining as hell. When he's done his faction work, he's been solid. And he's just been a workhorse for them.
Absolutely. And, speaking of TNA, we mentioned that Xia Brookside became the Knockouts champion. And she is putting that title to good use right there. Absolutely. So congratulations to Xia Brookside. There you go.
Did you say backside?
Yeah, Xia Backside. So obviously Eric Young, add him into the list. But there are quite a few names that people are anticipating joining WWE over the next couple of months. So we've got Mike Santana. We've got Hiromu Takahashi. We've got the former Baron Corbin and possibly soon to be again Baron Corbin. We also have Zilla Fatu. We've got Enzo and we've got Big Cass. Which of these guys are you looking forward to seeing back in WWE, Rob?
Enzo will be cool as a retro. He'll come out there, light up the crowd. Great. Zilla. Yeah. I'm leery because they might not roll it out well. I want to see one big family just sweep through both brands. We've had that conversation.
Not going to happen.
I know. They keep fucking A. Bishop. Yeah,
Bishop Dyer.
No, I don't care. He's leaving MLW to come back to WWE.
Yeah, which he is currently half of the tag team champions with Donovan Dijak. So this past week on MLW Fusion, they at the MLW offices actually insisted that Dijak find a new tag partner. So where there's smoke, there's fire, and very interesting to see all that stuff kind of unfold on MLW Fusion.
Baron Corbin is a comic relief wrestler. Unfortunately, I don't know where they're going to do with him. They'll not use him correctly. He's there to put over talent. He's enhancement talent. Mike Santana, no. You're going to put him with Damian Priest. We already see this a mile away.
Yep.
Two Puerto Rican guys from the Bronx. Yo, 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 hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, is what's going to be. And then I must admit, they did Hiromu Tanahashi.
Takahashi, yeah.
Takahashi. Yeah. Language barrier, they won't know what to do with them. They'll do some hokey Japanese shit again.
Oh, they'll put him with Naraku on NXT.
Yeah.
That's exactly what'll happen with him.
But, yes, Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Yeah, oh, that will be the biggest pop.
And they are actually rumored to be going to NXT first. So they're going to be rejoining NXT. That is what I've heard. But dude, we talked about it in the earlier part of the show. Their main roster tag division is so light, they need to go to the main roster. They need to go to the main roster. If you want to put them in NXT, you can have them at the PC, just kind of, you know, getting some chemistry back together, getting some familiarity, but they need to be fast tracked to be back on that main roster as soon as possible.
And you know where I want them? If we're going to do this two fucking tag belt horse shit, SmackDown.
That needs to happen. I completely agree.
SmackDown.
Yeah.
I want to see him. My name is Enzo Amore. Anyways,
So somebody that's leaving WWE and has actually already been moved to the alumni section of the website is Sheamus. So the 19-year veteran has since parted ways with WWE. He was not released. His contract expired. Now, mind you, he had just signed a 5-year deal about 2 years ago. So he is definitely a victim of the restructuring that went down, and WWE gave him a contract 5 years ago in the 7 digits, and they attempted to renegotiate his contract. He rightfully told them to go fuck themselves, and no, he is now a free agent. Realistically, he could show up on Dynamite Wednesday, but I think we know there's a bigger plan in mind. Have him show up at Wembley and imagine the reaction he will get when he confronts Ospreay or appears in Ospreay's corner, one of the two, Sheamus, as a member of the Death Riders.
Whoa.
About that. You pair Shamo back up with Claudio, reform the bar.
Yes. Oh, hold on. What is he going to come out as?
Realistically, he has said that he is going to go by his previous work name of Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. So we'll see if legal allows that to fly.
Sheamus O'Shaughnessy.
They can call him SOS, you know?
Yeah.
I guess.
Sheamus O'Shaughnessy.
Or they could call him the Pale Rider. What? That name's fucking money. Give it to him as like the fucking nickname.
All right. Now, here's the question. Does he fuck over Will Ospreay if he joins Death Riders and then they do this as his final test?
He's going to get a very loud pop when he shows up. So you may as well take advantage of him being a babyface, at least for that night. And, you know, maybe he shows up and then on the next Dynamite turns heel, or like I said, you could keep him as part of the Death Riders and have he and Claudio be a permanent tag team. I think that we all saw that both of those guys elevated one another to great heights when they were a tag team in WWE. So we shall see.
But meanwhile, where is Drew McIntyre?
Drew McIntyre should be back very soon, actually. So he was, we mentioned earlier that Hollywood was possibly calling for MJF. Hollywood was definitely calling for Drew McIntyre, supposedly being a part of one of the upcoming Highlander projects. So,
ooh,
could be interesting.
All right.
So RIP to the Banger Bros, but it's fine. It's fine. As we
it's
see,
fine.
It's fine. Fine.
The rain, it's fine. It's everything's fine.
Yeah. So you gotta love Lio Rush. And so yeah, CM Punk, as he did in 2011, put the championship belt in his fridge and took a picture. And also left the arena by blowing a kiss to the camera. So, yeah, it's the more things change, the more they stay the same.
He doesn't. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's look at him.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yep, it's absolutely that, different, man.
There's a definite look at that. Look at the shoulders. Look at holy shit. Yep.
He looks physically better than he ever has, but. Hank, the cancer is back. So,
A lot of memes
In the wake of this championship win for CM Punk. Obviously, Walter White. And, you know, AI can be somewhat cringe, but then it can also generate some crazy good things like this. As we see Cody Rhodes, basically being taking the place of Bret the Hitman Hart and CM Punk taking the place of Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania 9 right here in Las Vegas. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, man, right as we get ready to wrap, I'm going to make you guys all feel really fucking old right now. 30 years ago, the NWO was born at Bash at the Beach. 30 years ago.
Hulk Hogan was the secret guy. Oh, no, yeah.
He was the third man.
Yep.
Whose side is he on? Good job, Heenan.
Yeah, and then he was the other one. What was the one when Hulk Hogan sprayed the NWO? They didn't. It was like a couple of episodes later, and he had the catchphrase because anything less would be too civilized.
Yeah,
which was his right guard pitch from back then, and he sprayed NWO on the world belt, and he changed from the red and the gold. He had the white and the black, and he became Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, man, it's quite a metamorphosis and quite a change. So as we get set to wrap up, Rob, the floor is yours. Give some final thoughts. Tell the people where they can track you down, where they can follow you, where they can get a cameo, all that kind of fun stuff.
Once again, cameo.com/BOCE comedy. Tomorrow, I am going to be making a quick guest stop at Wise Guys Comedy Club, dropping in on an open mic there. Why? Because it'll be your chance to get to see me for Do Re Mi Free. So come check me out over there. In a couple of weeks, and I will have this on my page, I am going to be hosting the actual open mic. I will be running the entire thing at Dive Bar. There'll be information about that show and its availability. There's a couple of shows coming up in August. So stay tuned for that. And if you want to find out more, catch me outside. How about that? At Vegas Trump Guy.
There you go. Absolutely, man. Well, hey, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
They held back.
Hey, you know what, man? We didn't hold back because we got a lot of shit going on this week. So later this week, stay tuned for the Sin City Indie Report. That's going to be coming your way on Thursday, talking about the best and not so much best in the world of independent wrestling. Also, look for the DeFalco Files, hosted by Matt Michaels and FSW owner Joe DeFalco. Both of those shows will be coming your way later this week, right where you're hearing our voice. So YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. And until then, we will see you guys next time.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.